G'day boys, we are back. The Dolphins NRL podcast, round four. Big win on the weekend.
It was. How good was it?
Good. How are you going, Steve?
Fantastic. How are you?
Great, mate. Josh?
Good. Getting there.
We are. Mm. We're all trying out new gear tonight, so if it sounds a bit wacky, deal with it. So, like we said, round four. We beat the tits into submission.
No song to start us with again?
No song. Oh. No team song. I mean...
The production quality has really gone down the shit. Yeah. Yeah.
What you've just done there is made it so I can't put the team song on the start.
Oh, sorry.
Crikey. I do all that in post.
Oh.
Actually, I never used to, did I?
No, you used to play it
now. Used to have all the samples and everything. You know how many hours I used to spend on that shit?
Yeah, what's happened?
Yeah, I spend it all on having a talk because Josh is going to make me actually talk now. Which is far more interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah, than a couple of sound bites.
And I'm going, how good was that?
Yeah, how good?
Yeah, I don't know, sound bites or Steve talking for 20 minutes?
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I still just go, how good? Because like when you two start, I was like, yep, cool. All these technical, yep, he did that.
Yeah, well, it's not a visual podcast, so listeners don't know that you normally just piss off and leave the room. That's right.
Yeah. So, down at Seabus, Josh went down. We didn't go down. But 13,898 turned out. That was about 13,000 Dolphins fans, by the looks of it.
Yeah, I reckon.
And the sounds of it. What was it like at the ground?
It was good.
Yeah.
But it was probably, I don't know, 55, 45 maybe to the Dolphins. I'd say, honestly, there was probably more Dolphins fans.
That's
there
good. Than That's than always Dolphins. Good.
There was plenty of red in the crowd on the telly, yeah. and you heard the Dolphins chant go up. It's like, oh,
how good. The problem is though, with the poor old Titans now is as soon as they get one try behind, they just leave. They sort of know that's it. If they get in front and they get chased down,
that's just the players.
Beat the traffic and get you the players.
Hey, those players will give you the best 22 minutes of any team in the conference, right? It's just the other 58 you got to worry about.
It was a worrying first 15 minutes though. Like,
yeah.
We were a bit slow.
We were a bit rusty, weren't we? Didn't look like we had an idea of what was going on.
We were pretty slow out of the blocks.
Yeah.
I think you called that last week, though.
Yeah, you did predict that. That was a slow start.
I like it. I like it when I throw the old Dobbo out there and just a million darts and one stick.
One stick.
You probably got it off Dobbo's podcast.
Yeah.
Dobbo's got a podcast?
No.
What is it? I need to subscribe. No.
You got to take those little wins when you can, man.
Yes.
He does have a podcast. It's called Triple M.
Oh. Triple M.
He's still on that.
Hour.
Yeah.
Oh. That was definitely one thing that came out of it, as I just said. People don't want to hear about the Broncos.
No.
They don't want to talk us talking Broncos.
Yeah.
Do we wait
for his question or do I tell you now? Jaden said, no, what's with all the Broncos talk? So here it is. We're not mentioning the Donkeys again tonight. The only time we're going to mention them again is in 2 weeks' time when the Battle of Brisbane, when we flog them. I think it's 2 weeks' time. I could be wrong on
next
the date.
Next weekend.
Is it next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, well... Next weekend.
Next
weekend. Okay, so next week we're going to talk about the Broncos, but it's only because we're going to beat them. Oh, shit. The B word.
The B word. The bastards.
That's all right. I can wait 7 days.
But anyway, how about them Dolphins?
How about them? A couple of tries to Herbie. No, a couple of tries to Bostock. Herbie had one. Hammer had one. And Freaky again. How good? Is he the best front rower coming off the bench in the league or what?
Mate, seriously, so far this season, I reckon he has been the best interchange prop in the comp.
Yeah, there'd be 13 other teams that would want him starting for him.
Called it at the start of the season.
Yeah, big season. So, a little bit of statistical stuff, and then we can get a little bit deeper into it. 53%, I do that every bloody time. 53% possession at 78% completion. Not the greatest, but, you know.
Got us over the line.
If we were under 50%, that probably would have been a problem.
Well, we would have been under 50% in the first 20 minutes.
Definitely.
So to get up there in the end probably wasn't too bad.
Yeah. The run meters, again, as we said last time, I think that's the key for us. 1768 versus 1554, a little bit closer. 12 offloads versus their 8 is good.
That's a big number for us for offloads, isn't it?
It did seem like we had a lot of offloads in that one, yeah.
They were good too.
Yeah.
They weren't. You know, rubbish ones. A lot of them actually led to something.
Yeah.
Jesse, a couple of really, really nice ones.
Man, Jesse impressed me again. What's going on? He's wound the clock back by the end of it.
He heard you slam him in the first episode.
Yeah, must have been. So we had 7 line breaks versus their 3, which is telling, but I guess we scored, 5 or 6 tries, so it's going to happen. 39 tackle breaks versus their 18. 46 metres per set versus their 42. So that was much closer than last week.
Yep.
So, yeah, look, as we've spoken about previously, it just seems to be if you win the metres, at least for this team, you win the metres, no mistakes, you go a long way to win the game.
Yeah. I think for us too, we're spreading the metres out. You know, again, we had four in the back five. I think we had four in the forwards. All run for over 100. So, and when our guys like Jermaine and that come in and they have these hard runs, they're like, they're good. They time them. They don't just sort of come in for the sake of having a run or it doesn't disrupt the play.
Yeah.
It's like it just keeps the forwards fresh all the time.
Yep.
It's a good point. I think it was one of the games I saw on the weekend. I've never really thought too much about, you know, how important it is to have those meter eaters on your wings these days.
Yeah.
With the game being as fast as it is, your big guys in the middle, you need to minimise the metres that they're putting into their legs. So, you know, if they're going back 50 metres on a kick to the goal line, that's more energy expended than if they only have to go back 30 metres because the first two rucks have been done by the wingers.
Yeah, and we're down to 8 interchanges a game now too. So,
yeah,
you know, they're going to do long stints, a lot harder stints than they were doing before. So if you can get those guys, like you look at Penrith, that Toho just, I think he averages like almost 250 metres a game.
Insane.
You know, and post-contact metres, he's always up.
Like 100
mark. Yeah, it's crazy. Incredible. So, but then we got Jermaine, who does similar work for us.
Yeah, Herbie's getting up there as well. Yeah,
Herbie's does a bit of it.
Bostock's
even Jack's starting to do a bit of it, you know, now that his body's starting to fill out a little bit.
It's only been Averillo in his first two games that hasn't hit 100 metres.
Mm.
But he's doing some other things that are pretty bloody good.
He's had some nice touches though, Averillo. But he was always a little bit that way at the Dogs. Like he
bit more smooth and playmakery than Grunt.
Yeah, probably quality over quantity, I guess.
Mm. Makes you like think about the old Zach Lomax not wanting to be a winger. You know, he wants to leave so he can go play centre at Parramatta. So centre's less glamorous and less important now than wingers.
Yeah, agreed. I reckon
wingers should be paid more.
A more important job now.
Yeah,
centre.
Absolutely.
Look, yeah, with the ball, I guess. Defensively, centres still have a lot of work to do.
That's true.
But then again, you know, they've got to work in with the wingers defensively too. So.
Yeah, all right. With the ball. 7 line breaks, as we said. Sorry, no, hold on. Is that what we're up to? Yep, set distance.
Yeah.
Let's move on then. 92% as a team effective tackles was very nice. I don't think we've done that over 90 on a consistent basis. And if we do keep doing that, well, it's going to go a long way to winning. I don't know that we can do that against, you know, better quality opposition, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, Titans are bad with the ball, though. They've got some decent runners on the outside.
They haven't been real good this year.
No, they haven't. True. They haven't really been good in any area this year so far.
Yeah. Dez is a failure. 18 missed tackles versus their 39. That's good. Ineffective tackles included in that one. Sorry, hold on. What have I got here? Ineffective tackles versus Titans 17. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I think I've included
11 ineffective tackles
from
us to 17 of theirs. And then the total is
29 to 56.
That's a lot. So that's the combined missed and ineffective.
Yeah, we're talking about double.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I put that in, didn't explain it to you.
I was thinking I didn't.
I like seeing him confused on the stats because that's normally his baby. So
I'm just going to start good putting real trick random for next shit in there all the time now.
I'll just read
Morse code.
You'll have me like old, I think we've said it before, the guy from Evan Almighty or Bruce Almighty.
Yes.
8 errors, again, really good. Titans only had 12, again, not too bad. And the penalties, rack infringements, etc., 8 versus their 5, so we were less disciplined. But yeah.
Yeah, we copped a couple late that I think was just a bit of a square up.
Yeah, just clocked off. How was not clocked off, but Kurt only got 7 minutes in the end, but he came on and tried to just bash everyone.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. You're only going to get 7 minutes. You've got to make it worth your while. Yeah.
Make them count, exactly.
Yeah. Love it. It's like rubbing salt in the wounds.
Well, it shows, to me anyway, that we must have a pretty fit side. Like we basically got through that game with 16 players. You know,
yeah.
Come on with 7 minutes to go. And considering we've got a bunch of old farts on our side, that's pretty good.
Yeah, bloody oath. Round one was an anomaly. Ever since then, we've been killing it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So what's next match? There's a lot of stats in there. Did I do that?
That's me.
Right. Some player stats. Take it away.
I don't have it on my screen, so you can take it away.
Oh, okay.
My notes are at the end of this thing, not at the front.
You put them all in there. I actually have them in my own little let's talk it out section.
And skip and we'll go straight to that part.
So.
Eventually.
Steve-O.
Yes.
Have we satisfied you so far?
Yes.
Is it dolphins-y enough?
Dolphins-y enough. Why? Excellent. Why? What's coming next?
Nothing. I
just going to talk about the Tigers.
Yeah.
We don't get enough of that on Tigers 360, so.
So what I was loving in this game, agree with me or not, we got genuine strike this year. Yeah, 28.7 points per game, second in the NRL. What I'm loving the most is Izzy taking three sharp steps towards the line, just playing so straight and late that he's putting the defense on their heels and two minds.
He squares it up.
It's so good.
He squares it. He straightens up the defense all the time now.
Yeah.
And
he gets bashed for it.
Yeah, but doesn't matter. If you do that, it's going to give your outside guys space all the time. That's how you create overlaps. Because if you get a guy coming in who's not supposed to come in, but because the rest of the line's straightened up, it just gives you space everywhere.
And what's he doing? He's just finding that sweeping hammer.
Oh, and he's just making good decisions.
Yeah.
He looks like he doesn't mind taking a hit, except that last one in the final minutes that floored him for a little bit.
Yeah. He copped a couple of those last year too.
Yeah.
Missing out in the round one, I reckon, was just maybe a bit of genius from old Wayne. Yeah. You know, that rocket up the arse and, don't think you're just going to get your spot. But
it's so good.
Now, I know we're going to get to the team list, but on Izzy, I know a few weeks ago you said he came into his own when Cody got knocked out and he took control.
Yep.
With Cody back in the six this week, is that going to, you think?
Cody was in the six last week and Izzy still ran the team.
Cool. Yeah. Shows how much attention I pay.
Yeah. I'd say that's the go going forward now.
Yep.
It's Izzy's team. He's going to steer him around the park. He's the seven. That's why you get the seven on the back.
He's looked so good. But the way he's linking up with Hammer, who's then, those passes to Bostock, he had plenty of work to do still. Bostock actually earned those tries. Well, the second one at least. The first, that flick was great.
Oh, the flick was brilliant.
Yep.
The second one was brilliant by Bostock, but then I think it was three of the Titans instead of just, it was like three stooges just stumbled over the top of each other and all ploughed each other out into the sideline.
You could hear the sound of like bowling pins.
It looks, I was going to say, it's like the NFL touchdown where the touchdown celebration where they pretend they're bowling pins and fall down. It was like that.
Mate, I tell you, he bounced Tanner Boyd though.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Like Boyd flew across at him and he just jammed him. And Boyd basically just bounced over the top of him.
Yep.
When you look at Jack, you think he looks lean, but he's 96 kilos. It's just that he's 196 centimetres.
Oh, he'll fill out. He'll probably be over 100 kilos by next
season.
Yeah. He's big. I think he's going to – well, he's not big, but I think he's going to be big.
Yeah. So on the stats from those guys at least, well, Izzy barely registered. You know, if you went by stats in this one, you go, fuck, where was Izzy?
Yeah.
What did he do in this game?
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't matter. You remember Cooper Cronk back in the day? He was the same.
Yeah.
He didn't have big numbers.
But he was outstanding, though.
But it was noticeable what he was doing in the games.
Mm. Hammer, he had a try, 18 runs for 164 metres, four tackle breaks, two line breaks, two line break assists, and two try assists as well. That's right. It wasn't one. It was two. He was bloody good.
It was funny because he was quiet for probably the first 10, 15 minutes. And their first try they scored, wasn't really his fault, but he did sort of fall over on the line, which allowed Jolliffe to get to the ball. But after that, he set it on fire after that.
Now, tell me something, because you remember I'm footy retarded. That
or just retarded.
Yeah, there's probably that too. His little barely touched bump out for that try. Is that a deliberate thing? He knew exactly where the guy was, or is that just I'll hit it and hope for the best?
They'd practice that, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
You just got to hope the guy is there, though.
Yeah.
Because
you don't know.
He's not even looking, just the old.
Yeah. Poof. You don't know he's there, but the play's set up for that.
The play's set there so he knows it. Yeah.
It comes off less than half the time, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The way the commentators would carry on that it was, how good it was, I'm like, is it? Did he mean to do it? Or it looked like it's just a off-the-cuff,
Steve's got a good point. It probably, half the time. It doesn't even come off, really.
No, probably not. Yeah. When it does, it looks spectacular.
Depends who's doing it, but yeah, it's not the safest way to score a try.
Yeah.
But they definitely practice that stuff. So, you know, they do the whole diving in the corner stuff.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched the way that they practice that?
No.
It's insane. They have bloody mattress, like gymnastics mats on the ground over the corner. And then they basically, as he runs towards the corner and dives, they push him.
Oh, okay.
They literally just push him. Like, they don't bash him, but push him and he's got to get it. It's insane to watch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, other things I like. Our engine room has a little style this year. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Jesse and Flegg, they both had try assists in this game. They offloaded and created second phase play throughout the game. And then when they had a rest, Freaky comes on and does the exact same thing.
Yep.
I think they all had two bloody offloads each or something to that effect. But yeah.
Oh, but like Jesse, he didn't get the amount of work. But just his footy smarts,
You
know, they're through the roof. Some of those offloads and nice little passes, they were just class.
Yeah, yeah, the footwork's great.
Because I think he only had, I think, six runs. I think he had more passes, actually, than he did runs.
Yeah, probably.
But it's not just like he sort of goes to the line with it, too.
Yeah.
Almost like a halfback. He sort of goes to the line and then just, you know, in because he's such a big boy.
Yeah.
And then just feed someone out the back.
Yeah.
So you did notice that. Good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did point it out, to be fair. So I'm sure it's the only reason you're bringing it up yet again.
I've been saying it.
Yeah.
They all defended brilliantly as well, but barely missed a tackle between them. So Jesse, in 46 minutes, he had two line break assists, a try assist, two offloads, 25 tackles at 96% with no penalties or negative plays at all. We had Flegg with 50 minutes. I thought he played more than that, but 50 minutes. 15 runs, 149 metres, 55 post contact, 5 tackle breaks, a line break assist, a try assist, 2 offloads, 21 tackles at 95% with 0 negative plays. I love the no penalties, no errors.
He's got slick footwork, A nice little pass. He's got all that sort of glamour stuff that, you know, you don't see in a lot of props. But,
no.
But then he's just got that smash mouth footy, you know, workhorse, get the fuck out of my way attitude.
Dolphins.
About him too. Yeah. Just he's like, you need an alpha in the pack.
Yeah.
And he's, well, we said at the start of the year, who's going to replace Tommy? Because I think Tommy Gilbert will end up being, you know, or is sort of that alpha when he's there. But Jesus, if you've got two of them in your pack.
Pretty bloody impressive.
Yeah, it'd be unreal. Are you claiming that as Dolphins attitude now?
Why not?
As you said? All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Freaky, only 26 minutes, but he had a try, 12 runs in 26 minutes. He had 134 metres with 50 post-contact.
Imagine if he played half the game, mate.
Right.
Imagine if he played 55 minutes and could have kept that work.
I was wondering when they were going to bring him on because he seemed to be, off rage.
They probably had to because he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Like, every post-match presser, they give him shit. You notice that?
Hey, you want to know what's cool, though, too? He's actually getting a reaction when he comes out now.
Yeah.
Hey. Like, you know, and they say, like, oh, coming on now.
Yeah.
You know, this one off, this one on. And it's like,
Josh Kerr.
He got a huge reaction a couple of times.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. I love it.
That's great.
He deserves it.
Yeah. He also had a couple of offloads. Only 9 tackles in his 20-odd minutes, but at 100% effectiveness. No negative plays. I did have one.
He's pretty big. They're probably just not running at him.
Maybe.
He's probably nine tackles.
Him and Jesse do, when you see them on the training paddock, they look like towers amongst the rest of them. Yeah,
they're big. Big boys.
Love it. And then you got Mark Nichols, the other prop, who's kind of small by comparison, and well, so is Flegg to a certain degree. Fucking Nichols is 190 centimetres.
He does look tall, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See him with his shirt off in the...
He's just got skinny little legs.
Yeah, skinny little chest.
Well, too. Say in the showers.
In the shed singing the song on the weekend. Yeah, mate. Good try.
Wasn't at training either.
No. It's at his house in Newport.
What's that address again, Steve?
he's just moved, guys.
After he got the restraining order put in.
Undisclosed location. Sorry, we're hijacking you. Go.
Not at all. And then we got those workers, like we were talking about before we hit record, or maybe after, I can't remember. So many non-frills, just roll the sleeves up, tradesman-style players who also have pizzazz about their game, though, in Jermaine, Herbie, and Jack Bostock. All guys that are giving great carries out of the back end and giving our forwards a rest, but can all lay a try on and finish a try as well. it's we got some smoothness going on. Am I talking it up too much?
No. I think, God, this week, you probably would have had three or four of our guys in the best 17 for the round.
Yeah. Like in the bloke team of the week?
I don't know. I didn't get that far into the...
There's never any Dolphins in there.
I start talking about the Tigers and I gave up. I want to listen to this shit, boys. I'll go listen to 360, all right?
Jermaine, 5 from 5 goals. Bloody good. And Wayne gave him a special shout-out in the post-match presser. I don't know if you heard that, which is nice. He said we could have went into halftime down 8-10, but we went in 12-10 thanks to the work that Jermaine puts
in. He's like that with his goal-kicking, though. Like, when he's having a good day, he seems to just nail everything. Mm-hmm. But when he's having an off day, he seems to struggle with everything.
Yeah. It's like a confidence player, I suppose.
Yeah, I think goal-kicking, though, is probably rhythm more than anything. You sort of get into a good rhythm and...
Get in the head.
Like hitting a golf ball or something. Not that I... No, to hit a golf ball.
No.
But he's getting that way, though, Jermaine. Like, he's getting so good, so consistent, that he hardly gets a mention now, playing well.
The Teddy effect.
But that's because you now expect Jermaine to be an 8 out of 10 every week, at least.
Yeah.
And that's the way he's playing. He doesn't do... He kicked the ball out, I think, one of the kickoffs out on the full on the weekend.
Yes, that's right.
It's literally the only thing you could even remotely pick at in the game that he did wrong. Like everything else, I think he made 9 tackles, not a miss. The ball, he was just unbelievable. I think 9 tackle breaks, almost 200 metres.
Yeah, 198 metres off 23 runs. He's just getting into it again. 52 post-contact, tackle break.
He's an animal.
Try assist and offload. Herbie was also really good. He had the try, obviously, off the nudie. 14 runs for 156. That's a low game for him.
Yeah.
65 post-contact metres, 2 tackle breaks, a line break assist, an offload, and a 1 negative play. Well, I don't know if I put the negative plays in there.
You do that when we lose, so we can hang shit on them. Not when we win.
Jackie, mixed bag night. A lot of people after the game celebrating how well he went because he scored 2 tries, but that's kind of about where it ended. 2 tries. Yeah. 17 runs, 142 metres. That was nice. 6 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks. He made 2 tackles. He had 2 missed tackles, 2 ineffective tackles. So he defended at 33%. And he had 4 negative plays.
And he jammed in a few times, just totally unnecessarily. Well, for the first.
Yeah.
Their first try. Not the first try. Their second and their third try.
Both semi tries.
Basically. Because he jammed in when he didn't need to.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a bit of a trust issue there with him and Avarillo.
Well, you know what? I want to talk about that because I think that edge is a concern, not just those two. I think it's – well, so Yui, Izzy, Avarillo, and Bostock, those 4 seem to be where the problem is.
Yeah.
Everything – all the points seem to go down that side.
It's not Yui, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I don't know that it's Yui causing the issue. I think it's just Yui covering Katoa a little bit. Like, Katoa seems to not... He goes in more often than he stays out. I'm not sure what that's about. But, 2 tries again down there this week. My question to you, though, like, do we just hope they sharpen up or do we have to make a change? And
oh, no, I wouldn't go that far.
You know, the reason that I like it is you know nothing. There's no opportunity down the other side. So the opposition are always going to target that one side. So it kind of – it allows you to
– Yeah, they've not been like – they're not that poor though either. Like
comparatively, they're very poor compared to the other side.
Or to the other side.
Yeah.
But not in general.
Yeah.
I mean, they did concede the 2 tries down there, but
– I just worry against a better team – that might have been 6 tries.
Yeah, it could have been exploited more by the Titans.
But look at the Cowboys.
I guess they just didn't complete enough. But
The Cowboys came out after the first game and said that was a plan. Yep. They'd seen Jack Bostock moving back too far. And
Yeah, when it seems to be the opposite now, though. He's jamming in.
Yeah, right.
He's jamming in all the time. And twice he sort of come in. And look, don't be wrong, outside players will get pulled in and out of their line. That's what a good halfback's supposed to do.
Mm.
But, yeah, he sort of, both times he sort of jammed in, probably didn't need to jam in.
Yeah.
It was more that I just don't think he thought Avarillo was going to cover it. So he thought, oh, I'm going to get in, put a shot in.
Agreed.
And end the play. And it was.
And he did do a couple of shots in that.
He did, yeah. But he missed a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was another one. He missed more than he made. I can't remember when it was, but I think at that stage they were up 10 to 6 or something. And they ended up throwing it over the sideline, but he was way out of position.
Yeah, right.
Execution.
Yeah.
Let him down.
If they'd nailed that, it was a walk-in try.
Yep.
So, yeah, still a bit of work to do. They're all young guys on that side, though, so, you know.
Well, that's where I'm not too bothered for Jack. He should only get better with defensively. He's 20.
100%. Yeah.
And, you know, as far as him and Avo, they've played, what, two games together now?
Yeah.
So.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no major concern, but does need to improve. Definitely. Now, I've titled this one Big D Energy.
Okay.
Big Defense. Not Big Dick.
Oh.
Big Defense. Jeremy Marshall King.
I thought we had some lewd sponsor or something. It's awesome.
Jeremy Marshall King, Fuss, Yui, Maxi, all over 30 tackles in this one at over 95% again. Then Goat and Stoney come off and they keep it tight as well. Felice is crunching guys now and over 95%. Ugh.
And he was doing it again, like that second effort into tackles, like tackling back up into it straight in again.
And then he's running with gusto as well. Like, he's really inspiring the team. He's a true leader now.
He's running harder with the ball than he ever has.
Yeah. I think he's in the best form of his career.
Yeah, he's right. His defense is just scary.
Yeah.
And whenever we need something to get us going, he just lines someone up and fucking whacks him.
How was it? Was it Stimson? He bashed him and he missed him, basically. He just, like, hit him with his forearm and he went over. That was good.
Yeah, imagine if you copped the whole thing.
Yeah. He did then get his arm strapped up after that, so obviously it hurt.
Oh, okay.
Felice, for me, has just been so damn good this year. And he's earning his money now. But statistically, those guys, so Felice, obviously 80 minutes, that's the other good thing about him. You know, he plays 80 minutes every week, does all that stuff. 11 runs, 118 metres, 47 post-contact. That's so unlike Felice, but I'm loving it. A tackle break, and that line break. He had a line break. Got to celebrate him. He had an offload, 33 tackles at 97%. Love it. Yui, 80 minutes again, 17 runs, 147 metres, 61 post-contact. That seems to be the norm for him. A tackle break, 35 tackles, 0 misses, 0 negative plays.
Yep.
Unreal. Mate, Jeremy Marshall.
Seriously, before we get to that.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't think Connie Lemuelu walks back into the starting side now.
Okay.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I don't see how you could possibly go to Yui and go, oh, look, mate, you're going to have to go back to the bench.
Yeah.
Because he is playing so well.
Yep.
And they're both 80-minute forwards. But that's the thing. You've got... You know, you've got Yui playing 80 minutes. You've got Felice playing 80 minutes.
Somebody's going to miss out.
You can bring Connie back on because Connie can sort of spend time at lock or in the forwards or give them a rest if need be. So,
yeah.
And then it also gives us a nice balance too because then Yui can always shift back into the centres or, you know, into the outside backs if he has to, if injury hits us in a game.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got just a ready-made guy to walk straight back in.
Everything you say I think is correct, but I do believe we miss him. Because we've got a whole bunch of workers that don't make a lot of impact. There's a couple of times there in this one where I thought Katoa or more Nikarima found Yui running the lines that Cons would run.
Yep.
And just gets tackled. You know, he's not as strong as Cons, obviously. And I was just thinking when I saw that, I was like,
yeah.
I'll, for that execution of those try scoring opportunities. It would be handy to have that wide running power runner.
In saying that, Yui had 60 post contact meters. So I think he had the second most post contact meters.
Yeah, he always does.
He's not strong, but he beats him with footwork.
It's coming out of trouble usually too, though.
Well, sort of that first tackler will come in a lot of the time and he beats him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
definitely.
Then it means someone else has to come in. So you start to shorten out the defensive line pretty quick if you've got to do that. Plus, he's not bad at getting a quick play of the ball.
Definitely.
And, you know,
remember talking about that at one point last year. I think he had the quickest play the ball in the team for, you know, a good stretch of the year. Everything, he was great last year. The shoulder injury that he played through the second half of the season with got him a lot of negative attention. But, yeah.
Yeah. I've,
it's easy to be high
I've
on
I've just
him.
Been super impressed by him this year.
Now, Marshall King had 39 tackles at 95%, of course. Get this one, though. Maxey, 35 tackles, zero misses. Pretty good, you'd say. He only played 45 minutes. Like, damn.
It's a few tackles. Yeah. Well, he's supposed to play 55.
Yeah, true. Yeah. No wonder you can make a mistake, though, with, you know, that much work rate.
What did you make of Jeremy Marshall-King this week?
Jeremy Marshall-King was great. It was his best game of the year. Yeah, he's dangerous. You know, he got Nico over the line again with that crash play, but he dropped the fucking ball. he's definitely, I don't know, he started a little bit slower for me this year, but he's coming into his own again.
He's just, he's crafty around the mark of defence. Like, as soon as they start to slack off a little bit, he goes.
Yeah.
Or if he picks somewhere where they're not back in the line, he just goes. He's quite a clever, probably more clever than he gets credit for.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, we were high on him last year, and I don't know, I think I just got wrapped up in old Harrison Graham in the preseason and thought, oh, can't wait to see him in there. Let's start fucking white-handing JMK.
Not even a starter for the Dolphins anymore, mate. Yeah. Reckless.
That's true. He's coming off the bench. Yeah. All right. What else? Anything good or bad in that one that you guys feel the need to talk about? Get off your chest.
I don't like talking about negative things, but was it just me or did Cody have a bit of an off game in, like, it might have just been a couple of little errors I noticed.
I don't really recall anything outstanding, negative or positive from Cody?
I think his first two or three touches, he fluffed them a bit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he seems a bit down on confidence because he wasn't involved much at all. And you're right, I think he had two errors.
Yeah.
I think he had about three or four misses as well, tackles.
It was very much the supplementary half.
Yeah, but that's probably more what it was. He didn't do anything awful, but he didn't have an impact.
Yeah.
No.
Like, you could be forgiven for watching the game and thinking he didn't play.
Yeah.
Well, you could almost be forgiven for thinking we lost with how we finished that up.
I know, sorry.
No, not you. I was doing the exact same thing. But God damn it, I was pumped with that one.
Yeah, it was great.
That sounded so disingenuous.
Did we pump up Katoa's tyres when we were going through the players just then?
I tell you, his statistics didn't do anything for him, but that straight play, boom, we did. I reckon we talked plenty about
him. Yeah, I think we did mention it earlier.
So, are we ready to cast our votes then, boys?
Hell yeah, we are.
Alrighty. So, shall we start with the fan vote?
Yeah.
Why not?
Can I change my last one? Because no.
You can do whatever you want.
No way.
You're the master of your own domain. So, the fans this week, they gave 1 point to Herbie Farnworth.
Hype.
Good looking votes.
That's how I pick mine. Come on.
He got 1 point for abs.
2 points to Izzy Katoa, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
The old Katoa. And 3 to the Hammer. No real surprises there.
No.
He gets a lot of votes when he has good games. Who wants to go first?
Steve-O, you can go first, because otherwise you're just going to steal my votes like you did last
time. Yeah, that's right. We don't want to do that again. All right, one vote. I'm starting from the bottom here. One vote I gave to Nail. Yeah, I know. Giz said he didn't have a cracker, but fuck it. Two tries. Hype all the way.
He's got it. Found the nail, didn't he?
Hammer and nail. Beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, might as well do it now, because I was going to get to it later.
Yeah.
Because hey, look, Brian Kelly. He said this to you.
Yeah, all right.
He got one vote in the Daily M's, right?
Yeah. So if he can get one of them, I can give one to fucking Jackie Bostock.
If he can be in the bottom four of the Titans players on the weekend who are fucking awful, and Jermaine doesn't get a vote, then give it to whoever you like.
That's right.
Because Ruan won't care.
Give it to the fucking water boy. 2 points I gave to Clayton. Now, for those of you that are wondering who the hell is Clayton, the commentators were probably pronouncing his name correctly, calling him Izzy Katoa. So Clayton's towing is Katoa. So Clayton got 2 of my points.
Clayton, well done.
Well done. And 3 goes to the Hammer.
The Hamster. Not surprisingly. Well done. Nice. You or me?
You can go.
Me?
You always go last.
Nice. All right. So I got 1 vote for Vin Diesel.
Nice.
I thought Felice was amazing in this game.
He was going to be an honourable mention. He was like, he was tossing up to give a...
Yeah, same.
I've got like 5 honourable mentions.
Yeah. Definitely had the same thing, but I scrubbed him out.
Can we have bonus points?
Boner's points. My other spare points would have went to Jermaine or Freaky in this one. Who did I give me other points to? Hold on, I shut that screen down, dorky. I gave 2 points to the Hammer. I thought he was fantastic in this one. But in my opinion, he was outdone by one number seven, Izzy Katoa.
Yeah, nice.
Now.
You love a halfback, don't you?
That changes every week.
Yeah. Well, he hated JMK last week.
Yeah. That's right.
Now he's a best
player. Sun shines out of his ass. Yep.
Right. Did you notice that?
I was trying to corner you. That's why I asked you. That's why I asked you what you think of him this week. So this will make a headline.
If anybody listened.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? Okay, I got 1 point for Izzy Katoa.
Nice.
I've got 2 points for Jermaine.
Shock horror.
Yeah, mate, I love him. I'm telling you,
he was really,
as
really
good as
good.
The Hammer was, he was. I'm toed and froed between the two of them.
Yeah, right.
I actually had Jermaine with the three at one point.
Yeah.
But in the end, I gave it to Hammer for the three.
Yeah.
He just pipped him.
Jermaine was his stat line, as we said before, so good. And just the work he does.
Yeah.
You can't beat the attitude. He's our favourite son, isn't he? All right. So, after four rounds of voting, or round five, is that round five? No, round five's this week. Three rounds of voting, because we had a bye in there. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys on the board now. With 1 point each, we have Jack Bostock, Felice Kafusi, and Ray Stone. 3 points for Izzy Katoa. 4 points, Herbie Farnworth, Jeremy Marshall King, and Maxi Plath. 6 points, Freaky.
Freaky.
Big Freaky Josh Kerr. And now top three on 12 points, Tom Flegler. On hold on points, I said Izzy Katoa before. That was supposed to be Jermaine Nazarko. I don't know what happened there. I saw Is and went Izzy. 13 points. Izzy Katoa in second place.
Nice.
And number one with a 10-point lead, as you did last season. The Hammer. 23
Hammer off
points.
To the early lead.
10 points ahead of Izzy.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me so far, I don't want to be negative.
Yeah.
But this is like the same way we started last year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Hammer flying, the team flying. and then we crashed into a mountain.
Hammer goes off to Origin. And,
Flegs, not Flegs, sorry, Tommy Gill.
Tommy,
out of the year. Mm. And that's the other thing too, touch wood, we've had a really good run with injuries so far.
Yeah.
Let's look at the positives. Oh, Maxi Plath gets a 2-week holiday.
Yeah,
is that a positive?
That's right.
It's positive because
he
gets a holiday.
Yeah, the fallout from this one, absolutely. It is a very nice short holiday, I thought. I thought he...
2 weeks.
I thought he could have got much more than that.
It's probably because he's a clean skin, I guess. But then again, he should be a clean skin. He's only played a handful of games.
Is that the sort of tackle that'll get you a lot of weeks?
Hip drop. Yeah, that's knee reconstruction territory half the time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mate, that was a...
Oh, come on. Old mate was out playing the whole game. Yeah, he was limping around, fair enough, but he was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a particularly shit one, though. Yeah,
syndesmosis. Like he'll be out for 8 weeks or something, they said.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He is out for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they said that.
Sammy?
Yeah.
Why the hell do they have him running around for the rest of the game?
Tough bastard,
I
guess.
Not as if he was making any impact.
He's a Queenslander, so he's tough.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, mate, that's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah.
I love Maxi, but, man, they got to get that shit out of the game. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of them, I think, that aren't hit drops that they go, you know, like someone's a tackle, someone rolls down their legs. But there's two on the weekend by Maxi and another young player called Lachlan Galvin from the West Tigers.
Okay. Who
probably good for us, might be playing this week because he's been playing pretty well, the young fella. But his one was even worse. Like, I thought it was anyway. Like, his one was one-on-one. I'd say one thing in Maxi's defense.
Stationary player too.
Yeah. I'd say one thing with Maxi's defense is that, in his defense, is that the Goats sort of took him over the top, which made it look a hell of a lot worse.
I was going to ask that. Does Goat going over the top make that look worse than it was?
It definitely made it look worse. But don't worry, Maxi still did the wrong thing. You can't roll on their legs like that. You just know. And, mate, there was some Sydney side media flogs, who I won't name. They tried to say that Maxi should have gone for 6 weeks. because his was by far the worst, apparently, in their eyes. While Lachie Garvin shouldn't have been counted as a hip drop because the player he did it to was bigger than him.
What?
Yeah, it was basically, the argument was that, oh, yeah, I can't remember the player, sorry, but it was basically like, oh, no, he should have just been able to push Lachie Garvin off him.
Wow.
Like, mate,
what? That's ridiculous.
Who was that, Gus or buddy?
What does his name rhyme with? Wales?
What's his name?
He played for the Bulldogs.
Gallen. Oh,
and
no.
A lot of other clubs. He used to have an afro.
Oh, really?
Rhymes with Kelly Payson.
he thinks he's from Compton in Los Angeles.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
yeah.
Someone whose opinion really doesn't matter. Right. Less than ours.
Just say, buddy, should have gone to Specsavers and, you know, maybe it's time to give up your day job.
Mm.
See, when I first saw that tackle, it looked like Maxie had just fallen, not actually dropped down. But then actually, watching the replay,
a funny story. Sort of the angle we were on and where we watched it, when he did it, at the exact same time Sammy went over, Flegler run past and sort of like bopped him on the head. only like tapped him, Sammy, on the head. But when we were watching it, we thought like he'd run past and like just coat hanged him.
Oh, okay.
Because Sammy was laying on the ground like he was knocked out. And I thought, what's he done? Like, he's going to get sent off for that.
The commentator said it was Flegler too.
Well, I think that's just because mini Fleg looks like big Fleg.
Just on that 3 weeks, sorry, not 8 weeks, 3 weeks expected, 3 to 6 weeks what NRL physio reckons with the syndesmosis injury.
Still not good. And they harp on, a lot of them sort of claim, well, coaches claim, and a lot of players claim, oh, you know, but coaches don't teach it. We're not taught it. Mate, they go to wrestling lessons once a week.
Okay.
And I spoke to a bloke a couple of years ago who was, you know, one of these Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. And he was saying, he's like, mate, that's a move. They teach that in jiu-jitsu. And all these wrestling coaches are jiu-jitsu trained.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's where they get it from. So the coaches might be able to try and, you know, wipe their hands of it and go, oh, we don't coach it. But no, but you send them to wrestling lessons once a week, mate.
Yeah.
And
it is exactly still more when that goes wrong, though. Because there's no jiu-jitsu or anything that
does. But that's a maneuver, though. That is a takedown maneuver when need to get someone to the ground.
And even in that sport, though, they're not trying to.
And when you sort of say, like, oh, you know, it's only injure when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Mate, the Lachie Garvin one, that was just simply because he couldn't get him down. So it was like, oh, fuck it, I'll roll on him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I tend to still think it's a mistake. I don't think that anybody's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
I think it's just when they fuck it up.
I think it's interesting that the two players were young.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's a point.
And the point that they sort of say it's not being coached or put into players. Well, how come two players that are 20 years of age are doing it? Where'd they get it from?
Yeah, I don't know. If you look back through the ages, though, it has happened forever, but it's just the ones that are the Lachie Garvin ones is particularly bad looking one for me because of the fact that it did look like some kind of jiu-jitsu or judo move. The other one, like you said, it just happened because of the way that momentum and inertia and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that could have gone a different way if there was one less guy in the tackle. And I think most of them are like that. But it was actually it wasn't the leg that got pinned that was hurt. I don't know if you just realized that. It was when he first dropped and the ankle got buckled, the one that got injured was the one that was not underneath him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was interesting to note as well.
Yeah, but if he still doesn't bring his weight down
in that area,
his ankle's still not in that position.
Yeah. So it was the kind of the initial drop that did the damage, but it was the other part that looked worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the truth is Maxie's in a way looked worse only because I think Maxie's stronger.
Probably.
Lachie Garvin didn't seem to. But don't be wrong, mate, like grimaced. Like, yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, bloody oath.
And it's just a shit thing to do to someone.
Yeah.
Agreed. He'll be out of the Players Association if he keeps that up.
Mate, they'll learn. They're both young players. Mm. So, you know, hopefully they take that and don't do it again.
Absolutely. I hope we do exactly what we did to the Titans again this week, though. Because this week in round 5, we're back at Suncorp against probably the best West Tigers team there has been in the last 10, 15 years. They're looking pretty good. We cannot overlook these guys.
Mm.
Now, agreed. The reason I skipped past one of the listener questions there, which is, can we make a glossary of the players' nicknames we use? is because you're gonna do it now. Chris, we're going to run through the team list now, and I've included, to the best of my knowledge, what we've decided on.
Yep.
And at some point, we can make a graphic up with all this and put it out there and pin it to the top of our group page so people know what we're talking about. But this week's team list, Devo, for the game at Suncorp Stadium on Saturday at 6:35, who we got, mate?
All right, guys. Yeah, I listened.
You did listen.
Oh, Bill Lurie.
Was that close?
That was good.
I've been practicing that all week.
Nah, see, you sounded like you impersonated someone. I just sounded like you.
I'm mocking myself here. So, one, we've got Hamaso Tabuai Fido or Hammer. Two, we've got Jermaine Azarco, Main.
That's what we call him. Well, I call him that, and everybody just followed. I don't know if you do.
What's that?
Main. It's what's listed on NRL.com as his nickname.
Main or Jermaine.
Yeah.
Osako. How does Dan Ganane say it? Oh. Isako. It's got some weird shit behind it.
Probably Ula Kawatau or whatever he says on Triple M. Have you heard that when he's talking about Ula Kawatu?
No.
Ula Kawatau.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Is he the one commentating our game last week?
Nah, I think we had Vossi, didn't we?
Yeah, might have been, actually.
Or no, the guy who does the trivia nights at Redcliffe at the Dolphins. Or used to back in the day, Warren Smith.
Oh, really? He used to do trivia nights?
Yeah, we used to go to it.
Yeah, right.
Back when I was younger. Won some of those nights.
It's good to see Woz's career has
gone up.
Gone upwards since then. Well done.
We've got Jake Avarillo, or the Avo on toast, or the hipster's breakfast. Herbie Farnworth, Herbie, or the love bug.
Yeah, pretty creative.
I'm throwing my own in now. Yeah. I probably shouldn't. Jackie Bostock, the boss, nail gun, blue tack.
Yeah, we've got all those.
He's got about 35 now. Yeah.
That's right.
A bit of Pandora's box with that one.
Oh, we have. Cody Nicarima or the meatball.
Don't call me meatball, meatball.
Don't call me meatball, meatball.
That's a space, mustache. Meatball.
Izzy Katoa or Izzy or Clayton.
It's
not going to stick, I know.
Anytime you say it, I'm going to laugh, though.
Yeah. Jesse Bromwich. Jesse or J Brom.
Yeah, J Brom. Yeah.
Yep. Jeremy Marshall King, JMK, because we're creative.
They call him... Jezza, too.
Oh, Rockhead.
Rockhead? Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Where'd Rockhead come from?
Don't you remember?
Because he got a ball booted into his face at a million miles an hour.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn. That's it. Thomas Flegler, or Fleg.
Yeah.
Felice Kafusi. Foose.
Vin Terminator. Diesel. It's Terminator, yeah.
I just start calling him the baddest man on the planet. Yeah, the old Mike Tyson.
One bad motherfucker. Ewan Aitken, Yui, Ray Stone, Stoney.
Fuck, we put a lot into that one.
Yeah. And on the bench, we got Josh Kerr, or Big Freaky.
Apparently Wayne coined that too.
Big Freaky? Okay. Cool.
You must have done something really weird to make Wayne come up with a nickname for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to find out exactly what that was.
Kurt Donahue or Phil.
Yeah, we don't have anything for Kurt.
We don't.
Yeah.
His mum loves us, so shut the fuck up. Yeah. Praise him, bro.
Mark Nichols, the goat. Kenny Bromwich, Kenny.
Toilet man.
Yeah, we are creative. The plumber. And in the reserves, we've got Oreo, Sully, J-Wall, Tessie, and Mace.
I love that autocorrect.
You didn't fix Oreo, did you?
Yeah, what's Oreo?
By the way, have you updated that?
I just read what you wrote. What the hell is Oreo?
It's Oren Keeley.
Oh, okay.
He got auto-corrected to Oreo.
So oh, he's like the meatball, he's now an Oreo.
Is that this week's reserve list, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, J-Wall's in there.
Oh, okay.
Plays out Maxi and plays in Kenny.
Good to see Kenny back.
Yeah.
How good is your team when you got a guy that can't get around named Kenny Bromwich? It's not bad going. Now, you could have chosen 10 different matchups, head-to-heads in this one.
Yeah.
There's some good ones. The hooker battle's going to be great
Did I pick a bad one?
No, not at all.
Oh, good.
Well, if you're going by last year's stats, probably.
Yeah. Going off last year's, I'm like, oh, really?
Old mate was just about getting run out of the
there is a
the NRL.
10-game difference, though.
Yeah. But anyway, who'd you go with on Steve-O's head-to-head?
So my head-to-head this week, I went with the Love Bug and Justin Olam.
Beautiful. So isn't Justin Olam, he's got a nickname, doesn't he?
I don't know.
It's just Juzzy.
Olive? Juzzy. Yeah. I think it is, just Juzzy.
Oh, yeah. Jizzy. Yeah.
I think Brandon.
The Love Bug and Jizzy. All right.
There's lots of love going on.
So they played, Herbie played 26 and Jizzy played 17.
How do you play 26 games in a season?
I don't know. That's just what it told me.
That's including.
Who played 26 games?
Herbie. That's including finals.
Yeah, in the finals.
Yeah.
That's. I'm just going off the stats I found.
That's all right.
No, it'll be right.
He scored 15 tries to Juzzy's 6. Kick meters, 115 for Herbie and 61 for Justin.
That's a weird. Yeah. Surprised they've got that many.
Well, either of them.
Yeah.
Okay. try assists, 3 for Herbie, 5 for Justin.
Wow.
Yeah, that's because Herbie, until he come here, didn't know how to pass.
Yeah. That's probably the deal. You can come here, but if you're playing inside terrain, you're going to fucking pass.
Give him the fucking ball.
Or you can get the fuck out of Reckles and go back to England, mate.
Now, line breaks is probably their closest stat with 16 for Herbie and 15 for Justin.
Wow. And yeah, I guess, okay. So Herbie's more of a worker. Ollam's more explosive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there's a pass receipt was on there as well. So 479 Herbie was passed the ball that many times. I'm assuming that's what that means.
Received it.
And Justin Olam had 258.
Yeah, right.
Tackles. 311 for Herbie, 133 for Justin. Missed tackles, 24 for Herbie and 36 for Justin. So
not surprising. Missed almost double the amount in half the games. Mm.
Run meters. Here we go. I want to get your input. What do you reckon their run meters would be about?
Herbie should have dominated, I would think. A, he played more games. B, yep. Herbie makes a lot of meters.
Yeah. So 4,376 for Herbie and 2,152 for Justin. Average run meters, 168 for our Herbie and 126 for Jizzy. And kick return meters, 27 for Herbie and big fat goose egg for Justin.
Yeah, right.
Centers don't normally return kicks.
There we go.
It's not a thing.
Herbie's just ultra fit. Yeah. Can get back there.
They're different types of players. Ollam's is an explosive sort of, out of the box sort of player, whereas Herbie, he can do that, but Herbie's more of a worker.
Yeah, righto.
You'll normally get like more running meters, more tackles out of someone like a Herbie.
Yep.
Where it's interesting is 2 years ago, Olam was arguably the best centre in the game.
Yep.
And last year, Herbie was arguably the best centre in the game.
But Olam was never like a workhorse type of centre. Like, he's a guy that sort of picked his times.
You watch him this weekend, though. He runs the ball hard and he absolutely belts blokes.
Oh, his a good stat there, which you probably can't get him because they always take down the post contact meters. But yeah, his post contact would be huge.
Yeah, righto.
Mm. Yeah, he smashes blokes. He's powerful.
His highlight reel would be far more impressive than Herbie's.
Okay. Yeah, right.
He's not big either. He's nuggety, but when you see him, you're like, oh, he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
And then when you watch him hit blokes, holy shit.
Yeah. He just looks like he's a little granite ball.
Yeah. He's just tough.
Yeah. Nice.
So about this week's game, I won't be watching it because I'll be out at Sandstone watching a couple of bands play.
Yep.
I'll be watching it Sunday, so I'm ignoring all my messages from you two fuckers.
Yeah,
and
fair enough.
Stay off the socials and everything. It's like,
oh, I won't message in the group chat.
You fucking will.
You watch. Sandstone's got big fucking screens everywhere.
Oh, that's fine.
You'll be there. The score just comes straight up above it.
Incubus over there. The game over here. I'm happy.
Nice. So,
Incubus are playing it.
Yeah, Sandstone. Incubus and Live.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually get some really good bands now, don't they?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Let's delve down that road.
I hope that answers your questions anyway, Chris. There's the names. If you're just a Facebook guy but you haven't listened to the potty, well, that didn't help you at all. But
we don't put their nicknames much up on the
I'm trying to get in the habit of saying their last names a bit more, because Chris's credit, I've actually had a couple of complaints about that too.
Oh, really? Yeah, who are they talking about?
Just sorry, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I haven't heard it before, so, you know.
Go back, listen to episode one and all the way through and catch up. You'll catch up. No.
I don't tell people that. I wasn't on episode one.
Yeah. I've been listening for three episodes.
Yeah. I only plugged from the time I've been here onwards.
Fair call.
Ah, I'm going to love it. So, form. Well, we've only played these guys in the NRL once. We got absolutely rorted, ripped off hard. We lost 23-24.
Wait, this is how bitter I am still about that. I was watching the game between the Tigers and Parramatta, and almost the same thing was going to happen to them. And I'm just sitting there hoping that Parramatta kicked it. And like, yeah, you guys can eat some shit on this. And then they missed it. I'm like, ah, bullshit.
Yeah, that was disappointing. We're both 2-1 this season. But our points differential, you know, is a little bit better, obviously, which is why we're sitting first on the ladder at the moment.
Yeah,
that's right. It won't last forever, so let's celebrate the fact.
We'll take it.
First on the damn NRL ladder.
It's nice.
They're sixth, they'd be bloody pumped as well. You know, sitting sixth is pretty bloody good for the Tigers.
It's a bit hard to gauge form-wise, isn't it? Because we've had the two wins, convincing wins and good wins.
Mm.
Theirs have been tight wins, but probably against better opposition.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not overly... I wouldn't say – I'm not super confident that where we are is any indication of how good we are.
No.
But
I'm not super sold on their two wins either.
No.
Like I said, they could have easily lost the game of the weekend.
Mm.
I mean, you take the bye round points out of it, we're around the middle again, aren't we?
Yeah, so are they.
There's
a whole
bunch of teams that are 2-1. Actually, there's no undefeated teams, which is pretty unusual after only four rounds.
Mm.
At least one team didn't sort of, you know, notch a win every round.
Yep.
The team that shan't be mentioned is in 12th, so, you know.
Yeah.
We're paying $51 to win the premiership to the Tigers, 81, so that's a fair indication that nobody thinks we're going to win. And head-to-head, we're $1.66 in this one. It's almost not worth the bet. $2.23 for the Tigers.
I'm betting on the Tigers then. No.
Now, a little bit of match week trivia for you, gentlemen. Firstly, I just want to talk about a guy we're going to come up against this week in Junior Tupou. He's having a great season, just for the record. We've signed him for the next 3 years after this year. My question, though, where does he fit in? You know, we got Edric Lee, Tessie New, and Mr. Tafare all coming off contract at the end of the season. But our back five are, I mean, they're locked in for the next bunch of years, I would think. Yeah, I guess I just worry about where the kid's going to fit in. I'd hate to think he's a depth signing, because I imagine we probably paid him a few bucks.
That's why being able to sign with clubs 12 months before your contract's over is a fucking awful idea.
Yeah.
It has been.
Well, a little bit about him, for anybody that doesn't know. He's 21 years old.
I don't.
He's an Auckland-born player. He's 188 centimetres and he's 98 kilos, so he's a big outside back. He played union as a youngster. He represented New South Wales in under 16s and under 18s and the junior Wallabies, and then played for the ACT Brumbies. Pretty impressive young career. Then came over to league in 2022 and then made his international debut in 2023, which makes me wonder, is that where we got him? Christian Wolfe was his coach.
Oh.
Play for Tonga. In his career so far, he's played 28 games. He scored 8 tries, which is pretty impressive. So far in 2024, in his 2 games, he's averaging 120 metres, 52 post-contact and 5 tackle breaks a game. Weird random stat, but I did actually go back and watch. There's not been a single point scored down his wing and centre edge. So, you know, he's clearly on a good edge there, and he's playing with Justin Ollam, so it's not too surprising. Again, we got a few blokes leaving, or maybe not leaving, but off contract.
Yep.
Is he just a depth signing?
He probably is now.
Mm.
I don't know where he'd come in. He's a winger anyway. He's not a – I don't think he's played a game in the centres.
I think he has.
Has he?
Yeah, I think he's been combination both. Yeah,
I don't know a great deal about him.
Mm.
And other
he's quite impressive to watch.
Other than what people, I've honestly probably seen 5 minutes of him and just sort of more or less going on what's been said about him.
Mm. I watched him closely yesterday, just to, sorry, Monday.
Yep.
You know, just because we've signed him and B, we're playing him this week. And yeah, he does everything, you know, good carries, good shots. Yeah, he's pretty impressive. I tell you, all of our guys in our back line should be on notice because he's good. But
I just don't know where he'd fit at the moment.
That's though. It.
Like Jack's a young prospect that we're sort of, you know, putting a bit into.
Mm.
Jermaine's not going anywhere. Herbie's not going anywhere. You know, Avril has probably not nailed the centre position just yet.
No.
But I do also think that Tupu is more of a winger than he is a centre anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Got some depth.
Could be an awesome signing for the Radcliffe Dolphins.
I've got a nickname for him already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Double Deuce.
Double Deuce.
Or Tupu. I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
All right, well, hey, it made me think a little bit more about next season, right? As I said, we got those players off contract. Now, they're not the only ones. We've also got, so top to bottom, off contract for next season, Ewan Aitken, Kurt Donoghue, Cody Nikurima, Ray Stone, Jared Wallace. They're all guys that I would hope that we're going to find
they're
room
all staying,
for.
Staying, surely.
The probably more questionable ones, Edric Lee,
gone.
Anthony Milford,
gone.
Tessie New, Valens Tefare, James
gone.
Walsh.
that is.
I think James Walsh is already gone.
Yeah, well, you were saying last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't find out anything about him.
No.
He's not listed on the Dolphins.
I've seen him in some photos hanging around the place.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know. On, what's it called? Zero Tackle.
Yeah.
He's listed with a question mark now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway,
Mason Teague and Robert Jennings both have mutual options with the club as well. So if we don't want them, we don't have to keep them. What do you guys reckon about that list? Who do you want to keep? Who do you, yeah.
Well, if I go through them, I'd say Yui definitely keep.
Yep.
Try and lock him up for 3 years. Kurt, I'd elevate to top 30 because he's not actually in the top 30. Kurt's a development player.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, and I'd sign him for a couple of years. Cody, I'd keep probably for 2 years, maybe the second year as a mutual option.
Yep.
Stoney, I'd keep for a couple of years. Mate, Jaywell, I'd probably let go. It's not...
It's harsh, isn't it?
It's not a dig at him. It's more to do with... He's probably getting towards the end.
He is. I don't think it's anything about him or his ability. I think it's more just the other guys that have come through and are stepping up.
Yeah.
And mainly Freaky. You know, he's... Well, again...
Look, Damien, I'd love to keep him, like, personally.
Yeah.
I just think if you were doing the list, you'd probably look at his age and look at the roster and go, okay, now we're starting to transition into the younger team. So it's probably maybe just time.
If you consider that he probably won't attract a contract anywhere else... Given his age, he is a good guy to have on your extended list, you know? So if he does want to play on for a few more years.
At the very worst, I'd give him a ambassador deal.
Okay.
So he could hang around the club and drink piss and entertain corporates.
Right.
Because I think he'd be awesome.
That's right up his alley.
Yeah,
that would
I reckon it would be too.
Like what Petro is for the Broncos, even though he spends all of his time at Redcliffe.
Yeah, yeah. Lives here and as a junior.
Yeah.
Thanks, Petro.
Speaking of Broncos.
No, we don't.
Ben Takura making his debut this weekend. Have to mention him because he's a Redcliffe Dolphins junior.
Is he?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, good on him.
That's it.
No, not good on him.
Yeah, it sucks that he's playing for that team.
The team shall not be spoken of.
That's right.
Anyway, who else? Edric Lee.
I've got you,
Jaden. Milford, say hello to France.
Gone.
He'll be in the Super League. Tessie, I'd give Tessie another year.
Yeah.
Val, another year. There's some more players too. I don't know if you mentioned them that were off. Actually,
I want to see Val play again, but I don't think he's going to this year, is he?
Who knows? Plenty of time.
I don't know. Yeah, you don't know. He's probably a couple of spots away. But I guess if you know, Connie sort of comes back, and there's injuries, and then they might need to move Yui back into the centres. And then, I don't know, and then if they need to move him back to the second row. Anyway, it's all hypothetical stuff,
yeah.
But he might get a game somewhere. Anyway, There was also...
Geno and Teague were the other ones.
Well, you didn't look at the development players. They're all off as well.
Nah, I didn't.
Almost all of them are off.
Yep.
Ryan Jackson's off. He's got a club option. I'd probably take the option because he's young.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeremiah Simpkin's got a club option.
Yeah, I think he'll probably end up in England. He almost did in the offseason.
If he doesn't break in this year, I'd probably let him go.
Yeah.
It's a bit hard to do this at this time of the year.
Yeah, 100%.
But if...
Just as a general convert.
Yeah, let's just work on the fact that if we had to do the list today, Michael Walker, I'd take the option.
And Mason, oh, absolutely.
Mason Teague, I'd take the option.
Wong is a future for us.
Yeah, well, he's still young.
Yeah.
He's 18 and he's a prop, so it'd take him a few years to develop. Another one you didn't put in your list was the GOAT, because he's got club option next year.
He is in there, but you didn't mention him.
Oh, there you go. Just skimmed over him because I don't care. He's staying.
You assume that that's a non-issue. He's
staying. But it's not mutual. It's a club option.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's one of those ones that if the club don't want him, then he goes.
He's staying.
If he wants to stay, he stays in my book. Absolutely.
The club get rid of him, I'm going back to the Broncos. No. No, I was never with him.
Listen a few episodes back. He's going to retire here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whether it's the end of this year or next year, he's retiring here.
Honestly, the way he's playing, I'd absolutely, if like I said, if you're doing it right now,
yeah,
definitely give him the option.
Yeah, he's looking awesome.
So,
yeah, all right, sorry, that went way away from this week's game, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Don't matter.
Oh, sorry, the other one I'd probably shop around, because he is on contract next year, is Harrison Graham.
You reckon?
Get him off the books, yeah.
Boo.
I'm just saying it because he's your love child. I just added that in there in my red notes. So, yeah, give Steve shit.
Well, that gets us to the last bit of chat for NRL before we throw to some host for script.
We're not much to talk about this week.
That's all right. So, our predictions for this week's game then. I'm going to throw an idea out there. No, a thought, a prediction. There we go. Fuck me. It's going to be 1,000.
Sorry.
Just waiting for that.
You heard the...
Yeah. The gurgle. Come chuggle. Going to be 1,000 to 999 in this one to the Dolphins. By that, I mean 32-24. High scorer.
Really?
It's one way or the other. Actually, apparently it's going to be really wet, so it could be 2-4.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, sometimes wet games are high scoring now too.
Who knows?
It just depends if teams, yeah.
It's old Dusty again, isn't it? You can't predict it. You can't explain it. It just happens.
I think we go all right in the wet.
Dolphins,
of course.
Key.
Good point. See, Cowboys, they're shit. They're dry climates. Yeah. They've won one out of their last 11 in wet games, apparently.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tigers don't mind a bit of moisture. Wow, that's a good word.
I'll moisten you.
You dirty tiger.
Yeah. Come here, tiger, I'll moisten you. Anyway, back on track.
Steve-O, what do you got, mate?
I've got a really close one. 24 to the Dolphins, 22 to Tigers.
Oof. Right.
I'm close. I've got 22 to the Dolphins, 18 to the Tigers.
Ooh. Yeah, right. There we go.
Hey, I got the margin last week, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, just to pat myself on the back.
Yeah, nice.
I think I had 28. What did I have? 28, 12 or something.
Yeah, right.
It ended up being 30 to 14.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well done, mate. Well done.
Thank you.
As we say about early season predictions, if you're doing well, you know nothing.
Mate, you just take these little wins in life and you get them, all right? Don't get many.
I love it, boys. Now, Josh, we got some Host Plus Cup to talk about.
We do, but before that, I just wanted to get on a quirky stat.
Ooh.
It's not that quirky.
Like a keyboard?
But just the Titans. Again, we were down 10-0. So that's now three times we've played them. We're down 26-0 against them and come back and beat them. We were down, 14-6 at halftime last year against them and come back and beat them. And now we're down 10-0 again this time and come back and beat them. There's something about that first 20 minutes we just don't like to...
Just lull them into that false sense of security and then bam!
Yeah. The Dolphins, I think, media manager or something. I forget his name. You guys were harassing him last year on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Trad McLean.
That's it. Yeah, he walked down from the box and was talking to us.
And he
said that too. He's like, oh, shit myself after 20 minutes. Right, we all were. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I love it. He seems like a legend. Should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Still got his number?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should call him again.
He's blocked him. Don't worry. He figured that out.
I'll call him from my phone this time.
All righty, Hostplus Cup.
All right, well, nothing to talk about from the week just gone because they did not play a game the week just gone.
Good point.
So we've got Norse taking on Wynnum on Saturday. So we've got third place Norse versus eighth place Wynnum. So far, we can just go on who's named, but that will probably change because a lot of the reserves will drop back. So right now, you got Tessie named in the centres, Jeremiah Simbican named in the second row, and Mason Teague named in the lock. So the only name missing for Norse who played last time from us is Oreo.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, he's a reserve.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that...
That's a good point.
Yeah, he might be put back.
I'd love to see him come in because he's 18th man, isn't he?
I'm not sure. Yeah, well, he was the first name on your list.
Yeah, first name on your list.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Probably deserves to be. He's been playing really well.
Yeah.
A few cups, so...
I like him. What else we got?
Oh, that's right, on me.
Yeah.
Just sitting here looking into space waiting for someone to talk.
That's all right.
Thinking, fuck you, Blacks, don't know what you're doing.
That's me throughout this whole process, just sitting here waiting for someone to talk.
All right, we've got Capras playing Burley at home on Sunday afternoon. So we've got the fifth place Capras versus the fourth place Burley Bears. No players named from us for the Capras,
which
has been standard. We've actually only had Edric Lee. All year. Okay. It's been the only one we've had represent the Capras. Old Norse have squeezed them a little bit tight, I think.
We're claiming Hubner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's not contracted yet. Yeah. Yet.
Come on, man. Somebody get it. Yeah, get it sorted out.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got the Finns, the original Finns, taking on Ipswich on Sunday, and that's in Ipswich. So sixth place Dolphins versus 10th place Jets. We've got VT Dubs, Valence Toale in the centre. We've got SOS, Sean O'Sullivan in the halfback. Ryan Jackson's named at prop. And Steve's unclaimed son, Harrison Graham, is coming off the bench. He's been snubbed from the starting
line. That's because Christian's claimed son.
Yes, his illegitimate son is playing.
Don't you hate that? You know,
what's that?
I can't remember the word, but when sons score because of their dads.
A bit of nepotism.
Yeah, there we go.
The nepotism. Yes, not a fan. Not a fan, Matty. Not a fan.
Love
yeah,
that.
That's it. Got nothing else because they didn't play.
Yeah, fair enough. Again, Patamas in the team. I like that.
Bananas in Patamas.
Yeah. Hey, I watched a little highlights package of that Oblix Torwa, however you say his name.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? Yeah. He's been sharp the first couple of games. He's really, really good. I think he got hurt in the first game.
And did he?
Went off and it looked bad, but then he was playing next week. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Jeez. He, a little bit of Jordan Rickey about him, I reckon.
I'll just say one thing. The QRL website, pull your fucking finger out.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
There's never information about anything. You never find out if a player's injured, suspended. Yeah, it just gives you the shits.
The thing that's... that
is, like, I know Sydney don't give a fuck about us, but we're supposed
at least we should care for ourselves, yeah, God
exactly.
Damn it.
Come on. No one else is going to look after you. Look after yourself, mate. Come on.
Looking at it now, they don't have a player photo for Sheldon Patama, who's been there for ever.
25 years, yeah. Yep.
And Trey Fuller.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And half of the Jets team are in Titans jerseys. It's taking those ones off the NRL site.
Well, yeah, we do that too.
Yeah. Oh, we've got some.
Yeah, if you look at ours, we've got, I think, Harrison Graham.
Yeah, and Val.
Yeah, Val. There you go.
They just left Sully out altogether. Like, what's going on, guys? Get it together.
They're treating him the same way Wayne treated him.
I wonder what the internals are like there with old, you know, what's Sully's dad, Sully?
Yeah, Sully.
Peter Sully?
Sully Sr.
Yeah.
Oh, so look, you got sauce, then you got
POS. Doesn't work out.
POS.
If it doesn't work out for Sully and he goes to his 19th club, mate, he could end up coming back to us one day as a coach, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you one thing, he's got footy smarts.
Yeah.
Sully, I don't know if you ever hear him talk, but,
yeah,
mate, Jesus, he knows his stuff.
Anyway. I do like me a Sully. Well, boys, that was quite enjoyable being able to sit back. I'm liking the headset.
Well, as much as I can in this chair, but yeah.
bring a blow-up lounge next time.
I feel like a ringside announcer with this mic.
Yeah, it's a cool mic. But I'm going to exchange it for some wireless ones because, you know, I'm a gear nerd.
Sell me down the river.
Yeah, I got the little slip in there to go to pick up from the post office your headset on Friday. So next week, we'll have the same sounding microphones. Yeah, that'll be good. Nice. Well, boys, is that us?
That's it.
I've got one more thing to say. We've just made a record.
Yes.
Shortest ep of the year.
Yeah, it is too.
We made another we made another record, which I'm about to break. We didn't say Broncos once.
Love it.
I'm trying, boys. Jaden, I really am.
It's a losing battle, mate. Give it up.
Let's declaw the Tigers on the weekend. Fins up.
Absolutely. Fins up.
I don't know, I just did the late Mewitt
what's
thing,
that?
Man.
Come on.
I'm glad this is not a video pod.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
So with the listeners, they don't have to look at us for an hour and a half.
That's the next step. Once you got your little mics, you got to get video.
Yeah, well, hey, we'll work on it. Until next time.
Peace out, mother lickers.
Fins up!